Burden, Brother and Sister, J.A. Los Angeles, California, September 21, 1902. Dear Brother and Sister Burden, it is now clear to me that our restaurants should not be opened on the Sabbath. Unless they are closed on the Lord's Day, the blessing of God will not rest upon this branch of the Lord's work. Those who are engaged in our restaurants must have opportunity to rest on the Sabbath, else they will backslide. The Lord does not require them to furnish meals for the people on the Sabbath. If those who come to our restaurants choose to take away with them on Friday health foods sufficient to last over the Sabbath, let them do this. But our restaurant workers are not to be asked to work on the Sabbath. We need to count the cost of starting restaurants and see if matters cannot be so arranged that the efforts put forth to conduct them will tell more decidedly for the saving of souls. Thus, God will be better glorified. If the managers and helpers of these restaurants are so busily engaged that they have little time to commune with God themselves and little opportunity to bring the light of truth before the people they serve, let the restaurant work be given up, and let our people take up some other line of work that will do more to awaken an interest in present truth. The restaurant work will prove a snare if the helpers are kept so busy that they have no time to work for the saving of souls. There is danger that our restaurants will be conducted in such a way that the helpers will work very hard day after day and week after week, and yet not be able to point to any good accomplished. This matter needs to receive careful consideration. We have no right to bind our young people up in a work which yields no fruit to the glory of God. Let us remember the words, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31. There is danger that the restaurant work, though regarded as a wonderfully successful way of doing good, will be so conducted that it will promote merely the physical good of men and women. This matter needs careful attention. Those chosen to manage this work must be careful, consecrated men, lest investigation prove that the cause of God is not advanced by the efforts put forth. A work may apparently bear the features of supreme excellence, but it is not good in God's sight unless it is performed with an earnest desire to do His will and fulfill His purpose. If God is not recognized as the author and end of our actions, they are weighed in the balances of the sanctuary and found wanting. Religious life must characterize our business transactions if we keep the breath of life in our souls. We have been instructed that pure, strong faith in a "Thus saith the Lord" must bear a signal part in all our business enterprises, else all who are connected with these enterprises, whatever they may be, will stand on losing ground. When God can accept us as laborers together with Him in seeking to save the souls ready to perish, He can cooperate with us in carrying forward the enterprises with which we are connected. And His cooperation places us where our efforts work out His plans. It unites us with Christ, and from Him we derive the nourishment that enables us to bear much fruit. John 15, verse 5. In Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Galatians 5, verse 6. Let us walk humbly with God, seeking Him diligently and serving Him earnestly, lest we be found unprofitable servants. Our Lord loves to have us trust Him implicitly, recognizing the sacredness of His work and His power to carry it forward. We need not be in darkness and doubt. Christ is constantly inviting us, "Look unto Me. He that followeth Me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Isaiah 45, verse 22. John 8, verse 12. No man can look to Christ without being strengthened and uplifted. By beholding Him, he is changed into the same image and cherishes the same spirit. All sullenness and gloom are gone. His experience is as clear as the sunlight. The consciousness that Jesus loves him fills him with joy and gladness, and he reflects the divine image. His constant question is, "What shall I render unto thee for thine infinite love and mercy to me? I am thy servant, for thou hast loosed my bonds."